Welcome to another podcast from Air Insight, LLC.
Welcome to another podcast by the Air Insight team. I'm Ernie Yarvey, and with me are Addison Schoenlund and Scott Hamilton to talk about the Delta Northwest merger on Tax Day, April 15th, 2008. Addison, what do you think of the announcement of the merger between Delta and Northwest?
I was just sharing with Scott an idea that I think the only stockholders that are going to make money out of this are the people who sell Tylenol. I can imagine the amount of headaches that this merger is going to create for the people within Northwest and within Delta. And then, of course, think about the monumental problems that are going to come out of the passenger side. It's incredible. The pilot union at Northwest has already come out against this idea. They feel they're being railroaded. So, you know, round one of the trouble starts on day one.
Well, I thought that the whole behind consolidation was supposed to be to reduce capacity. And here the two airlines have said they're not going to eliminate any hubs. And I'm not sure that having hubs in the proximity of Memphis, Cincinnati, and Detroit, having all three of them makes any sense. They don't talk about capacity reductions. They just talk about shifting capacity from one market to another to better utilize the equipment. I thought that's what consolidation was all about.
Exactly. I don't see a tremendous amount of synergies in terms of economies of scale. Both carriers were large enough that scale economies, they had already achieved scale economies of major airlines. So apart from the loss of a few high-paying senior executives, there doesn't appear to be a lot of cost reduction associated with this merger.
Well, which executives are going to be going away?
Mainly the Northwest. But Doug Steenland is noticeably absent in any management structure that was announced today. Another interesting thing is that a lot of times the merged airlines in the past have talked about fleet commonality and that sort of thing. I listened to the conference call with the analysts this morning, and in this case they're boasting about the fleet uncommonality, saying that, oh, gee, we won't have any integration problems. The only common fleet type is a 757, and therefore we can just shift these airplanes around. We don't have to worry about making galleys and configurations common and things like that and maintenance manuals. They're saying uncommon fleets is a big benefit here.
That's crazy when you realize that Delta's galleys for their 767s are custom-made.
Oh, virtually everyone's galleys are custom-made for almost every type of aircraft. And I remember looking at a study we did on the 747, I think there were 218 separate trolley carts that were available for the airplane, and looking through a catalog of all the suppliers. So it's airlines have taken customization to absurd levels in the past, but this is the first time I've heard that lack of fleet commonality is a benefit, because normally that's the one place you can save money is by integrating to a single fleet type. Of course, the opportunity for both to refleet is there because they both have fairly old fleets, and where they get the capital to replace the probably 600 or 700 of the 800 airplanes they have that will need replacement over the next 5 to 10 years is the real question.
Well, another interesting thing out of all this too is that they made a point of all the executive offices that are going to be retained: Atlanta, Minneapolis, Tokyo, Amsterdam, New York. Where the heck is the cost savings in this transaction?
Well, they have $7 billion in cash, which I guess they'll just continue to burn away like they've been doing up to now.
I don't find this thing to be particularly noteworthy on any number of levels, at least not with the objectives that those who have been singing the song of consolidation have identified over the past couple of years.
If consolidation was to reduce capacity and stimulate airfares and cut costs, I don't see this as happening so far with the announced plans of this merger.
Yeah.
Do you find it interesting that Air France KLM did not invest in this venture after some discussions to early on to invest in the Delta KL Delta Northwest merger.
It is interesting, but I'm not sure whether that's a statement about the merger or a statement of changing market conditions and a decision to preserve cash on their own hook. The oil continues to go up dramatically. I just don't know truly what's behind it, although they did address it on the conference call this morning. I didn't find the answer particularly illuminating.
It might be, of course, that the Europeans are just holding back for now. There's no need for them to do anything. Clearly, Congress and the DOJ is going to get involved here. And this idea of making statements like, we're going to keep all our hubs, that's a negotiating position. You know, there's no question that the government's going to step in and say, you need to get rid of stuff. And so, of course, Memphis and Cincinnati are top of those to be given away.
But well, I'm not sure that there's much value in either one of those hubs, particularly Memphis, but that's either, perhaps neither here nor there.
I think that one of the interesting things that does come out of this, of course, is that Delta now picks up a very nice cargo operation, which they've not had before. The cargo operation that Northwest has is very useful. I think that is something of an asset that really will come to the fore now, because they can really get those airplanes full with a combined vacuum effect of sales all around the country picking up cargo.
Well, one of the challenges, though, is the fact that all those cargo airplanes are old 747-200s, and I think that fleet needs to be renewed, and so that's going to be a capital expense as well. But I'd like to kind of shift gears here for a second. It's already been out there that this merger is going to trigger United and Continental. What do you guys think about that?
Bad idea for Continental, in my view, who I think would be better off by perhaps going after Alaska, where they would have better fleet commonality. It would round out their national network and be a much better fit than United, which would just, to me, not work well from either a fleet standpoint or a route standpoint with Continental.
I agree with that. I think United is the ugly duckling among the legacy carriers. Huge network. Star Alliance obviously is enormous. But the United we see today is not the United that it could be. And I don't believe that the people who are running United have invested in the company. So if you were a Continental, what are you really buying?
Well, you're buying, of course, a pretty good route system. I would point out that Continental has made it really clear that they would be the surviving management. So setting aside all the issues of fleet incompatibilities, incompatible reservation systems, a whole host of labor issues, the biggest benefit out of a Continental-United merger would be that Glenn Tilton and his team would be out of there.
Right. I think that's absolutely the case. And what is interesting is that if you were Continental, making the statement that you are the surviving management team is kind of like a Pyrrhic victory, because the other side can't wait to get out the door with their money.
Well, sometimes you have to pay the piper to get rid of the bad blood, you know?
Right.
Okay. So then let's assume that Continental and United merge. What happens with American and U.S. Airways? Do they merge? Do they go ahead and stay alone? American has not had a lot of success with mergers, but this would almost have to be a defensive move on their part.
Well, I think we'd see American go with BA.
Correct. I would agree with that.
Well, except that you can't have a true, honest-to-God merger between American and BA. You can have an investment, but you still have ownership restrictions on the part of the U.S. Government here. So you can't have American BA actually effect a merger. And even if you did, then what happens to U.S. Air? Then it's really left out in the cold.
Well, I think that you would take the view here that perhaps given the fact that these two mergers, if they actually go through, are going to create such havoc and chaos that, in fact, if American were to stand aloof from this feeding frenzy, they will have the most of those big airlines. They will have the most steady as you go product And that'll be
looking at what's happened over at American in the last couple of weeks, I'm not sure I'd agree with that.
But. Well, the truth is that MD-80 mess is now behind them.
Yeah, but boy, their customer service and their labor issues remain out there, and U.S. Airways still is trying to sort out its customer service issues from its merger. I think that this thing is just going to – if we thought that the U.S. transportation system was chaotic before, just wait till you see what happens when all of these mergers take effect.
Let's hope that there's some sanity in Continental and United does not go through. This one will be bad enough in terms of its impact on the traveling public. And that's the view from the Air Insight team, Tuesday, April 15th, 2008. Don't forget to pay your taxes on time.
This podcast is copyrighted by Air Insight, LLC.